If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Hey!
Morning, Charlie. Hello.
Morning, John. Morning, guys.
Right. Oh, God. How is it? Let me ask. How is the Wi-Fi?
Well, it was fine yesterday, but you never know. There could be gremlins. Oh. Seems fine, mate. As long as you and John can hear me.
I can hear you.
Let's crack on.
Right, okay, let's crack on. Morning, everybody. John Richardson and Charlie McCann. Charlie's in Gibraltar. John Richardson's on the moon somewhere. We don't really know where Rico exists this week. He's, I guess you made a splash, didn't you, with you've been talking about it. If anybody's been watching our show for the last 6 months, you put in your story in the Sunday Mirror is Klopp going and Stevie G in. Along those lines, what kind of reaction have you had?
I thought I'd better put it out there because we've been talking about it, haven't we, for the last few weeks. I might get it in the paper. Scoop myself. No, it's basically from inside information, talking to somebody you know very well, actually, Rob. Somebody connected with Liverpool. And I just ran it past him. I said, there's all this talk about Jurgen Klopp possibly being the next German manager when Joachim Löw eventually goes. That could be after the end of these Euros or maybe the end of the World Cup next year in Qatar. And, I've heard that already the owners are looking at Steven Gerrard as the obvious replacement. And this guy knows what's going on in Liverpool, said true and true. So I thought I'd better run it. But then, of course, we live in this social media world where everybody's an expert. So, the story appears on Sunday morning and on Sunday, you just get abuse, on social media. Now, I'm on Twitter because it does raise your profile, but I'm not a lover of it. And I feel for people that are abused. We have racism, blah, blah, blah. I'm afraid it's getting worse and worse. And, nobody can come and have a sensible conversation. It's always got to be abusive. And of course, they know better than you, even though you're in the business of talking to people. They don't know anybody, but they seem to know better. But that's the world we live in, I'm afraid.
Somebody who knows everything, especially about his beloved Blues. They've had a good week, haven't they, Charlie?
Very good. Klopp is 15-2 to be the next Premier League manager to lose or to leave his post. But that is only until the end. The Chelsea game, I think they've run out of excuses, etc. The players don't have the same energy that they had. Maybe the manager as well doesn't quite have the same energy. And I'm sorry, there is an awful lot of logic to what John suggests. He's always said he wants to manage his national side one day. I'm sorry to bring up maybe what happened to his... Was his mother, his relative, that might act as a catalyst as well, and he might decide. But massive game at West Brom. With regard to this market, with Newcastle playing West Brom over the weekend, I think that is a massive. Steve Bruce, Steve Bruce now into 7-4 favour. And digress. But to answer your original question, yeah, fantastic. But we are against Chelsea and things like that. But tremendous.
He's in there, isn't he? The Wi-Fi, Charlie, is for some reason.
Can we get back to Liverpool, though?
Hang on, let me just try and sort Charlie's Wi-Fi out before. Chaz, can you hear us?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah, it's fine, and then it just breaks up a bit. Let me go back to Rico and then we'll pick up again.
Yeah.
Rico, it's genuinely astonishing. I mean, I was watching last night and it's almost so predictable what's going to happen, as in nothing's going to happen for Liverpool. It is almost like they look like they've run out of everything. Confidence, energy, ideas.
I mean, let's get this right, because, all of us have praised them over the last couple of years, and quite rightly so. Well, over the last 3 years, they've been a tremendous side. But make no bones about this. This is an appalling defence of a championship. It's it's probably one of the worst in modern times. You know, the white flag of surrender's gone up. Watching last night, you just knew that they weren't going to get anything from it. You know, as Charlie said, there was a lack of energy. They were flat. There's a lack of confidence, obviously. And, you know, people say, oh, Virgil van Dijk, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that's part of it. You know, they've had 19 central defensive partnerships, but it's more than that. I mean, the front three, who have been supreme over the last 3 years, you know, they're struggling. It's like a Rolls Royce, which is misfiring. You know, there's nothing happening, and the midfield isn't as dominant as it has been. They're going through a bad time, and Charlie, you know, mentioned Jurgen Klopp. He looks like he's absolutely shattered as well. I've said before on this programme, I don't think all is well behind the scenes as far as, you know, the owners and Klopp is concerned. I don't think it's a crisis point, but he obviously wasn't backed how he wanted to be in the January transfer window. And there's just one or two signs that the whole empire is starting to crack. And yes, we have rightly praised them over the last few years, and you never take that away from them. But I think Graham Souness has said quite often, the mark of great champions is how you keep going, how you defend that title, because obviously you're there to be shot at. You know, you are the champions, and it's how you react to that. Because if you look at the Premier League over the last few years, it is very hard to retain the title. But, you know, most sides have come a lot better, you know, done a lot better than Liverpool. So, yeah, I mean, questions have got to be asked.
It's an absolutely fantastic, and I mean fantastic, title race, apart from Manchester City, Charlie.
Yeah, it is. And that top four, which, you know, if you'd have told me that Liverpool would be even money to finish in the top four, yeah, I still insist they could win the Champions League. But Manchester United, you know, they've been so ordinary recently, you know, and this much vaunted Bruno Fernandes, and what Gary Neville, you know, he must have, Edison Cavani must have pictures of Gary Neville with farmyard animals, because he absolutely adores him. And he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And yet, you know, he scored 3 goals, you know, anyway, United are 4-1 on Chelsea. I thought was sensational. I thought they were really good. And whatever you say, you know, and everyone's loyal to Frank, A, because he's a good bloke, and B, because he's a Chelsea legend. That took some balls to get rid of him at that time, and it was the correct decision. And this guy, these guys, you know, people like, you know, Rudiger, whether he was one of the catalysts for change, and whether he was, you know, but, you know, maybe he and Tuchel were, you know, and there's rumours that he was, you know, not particularly, well, he wasn't in favour of Lampard, and so, you know, but he's been absolutely symbolic of the renaissance in Chelsea. Very good. And again, I've been sort of not critical. Mason Mount, I thought, was a good player, very good player. But I didn't think he was. I thought the London press maybe. No, he's been fantastic. That was a top class goal. You go to Anfield and you score. Yeah, did Bruno Fernandes do that? Nah, Mason Mount did, and that, I think, it's great again for English football. And I hold my hand up. This guy's a real player. But that's a real Chelsea team as well. I like the fact that he could bring in Giroud and things like that. Werner, high line. He wants to play with pace. Had it been 4-0, no one could have complained. No one could complain.
Rick, I've got to say, it's VAR and I mean, why was that not a handball last night against N'Golo Conte? Only from the context of the Fulham handball, which, I mean, I know the rule, if it leads, any kind of touch on the hand that leads to a goal has to be short. I mean, it's just cobblers, isn't it? It's ridiculous.
Football's got a major problem. I mean, last night, nobody celebrates the goal straight away, do they? You know, in the past, you'd look towards the linesman, you know, and then you'd start celebrating. Now, there's this fear that it's going to be knocked off by VAR. And the problem for me is that I do think that the people at Stockley Park are sitting there, sitting judgment. And I think instead of trying to goals, they're trying to knock them off. I think there's a negative view. I think they all, I mean, look at the first Chelsea goal, well, the one that was disallowed with Werner. I mean, I still can't see how that was disallowed. As far as I was concerned, they were in a line. And so the benefit should go to the attacker. But I'm afraid it's like a surgical procedure now. They sit in front of that. And I'm afraid that they're sucking the life out of the game. I mean, football is spontaneous. It's joy. It's fantastic. Now you're getting sort of two half-hearted celebrations instead of one because you've got to wait for VAR. Now, I think we've got to have a look at this in the summer because it is. It's wrecking football. You know, we've got machinery there. And, you know, the goal line technology, fantastic. No problems with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with the actual, you know, technology. It's the people in front of these screens, I think, of, you know, they're very negative.
I've got to be honest. I know a lot of colleagues went to Stockley Park and they, you know, they've had chats about how it works. I look at that screen. I don't understand it. I look at those lines and I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't know how you decide unless their lines are better than the lines I see on TV, Charlie. I just don't get it.
I thought Werner's was a perfectly good goal. I thought West Brom should have been, but the penalty for N'Golo Kanté was ridiculous. You know, we were all told he's got to, his hand was there. That was a penalty. And the worst of the lot from only win midweek. I mean, we should have a sort of top 10 programme of VAR cock-ups almost every week. I mean, you're not talking about one or two or three. You could have a top 10. But the Fulham goal, and of course, Scott Parker was so magnanimous after that. Can imagine some managers would have been ranting and raving. And he just said, no, I know the law. It doesn't mean to say that the law is not an ass. That was a perfectly good goal. You know when Spurs, Dele Alli was kicking off. Dele Alli was kicking off. And of course, that's handball, supposedly. Not offside, it's handball. And Dele Alli wanted to kick off and continue the game. That shows how bonkers that rule is. And it's not good. Of course, it will change because it's got to change because it's crackers. But it doesn't mean to say that, you know, if you're Fulham Football Club and you're a Fulham supporter this morning, or you're a Fulham player, or you're Scott Parker, that was wrong. That was wrong.
And this
hasn't come out yet, and it won't come out. But I think you know, Rob, that Sky and BT do their own lines, you know. Stockley Park do that line, and BT and Sky, whose technology is supposed to be better than the Stockley Park, they do their lines over and offside, and they're completely different to the ones at Stockley Park. So
they have to be from what I say. Listen, I just wonder if that's a decision that could cost Fulham their Premier League status in a way. But I was going to ask you, Rico, Steve Bruce has been fighting with Matt Ritchie, hasn't he, in training, and what a weekend it is for them, and with all the injuries, I think Fulham, I've said it all along, I think Fulham have got a right chance of getting out, maybe at the expense of the Tomb.
Well, as you know, training incidents happen every week and they're never reported. But when you're in trouble, obviously everything is magnified. So there was this bust-up with Matt Ritchie, which has been reported. And it's another stick to beat Steve Bruce with. The local media, the North East media, dead set against Brucey. They want him out. And so this is now a campaign. I'm not knocking the story. The story was true. But, you know, I can tell you lots of training ground incidents. They happen every week. You know, we have bust-ups in practice games, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not reported. It's just one of those workplace incidents. But, yeah, he's up against it. And it's not just because of that. It's because the injuries. I mean, they've got Almirra out, San Maximo out. Of course, they've got Callum Wilson out. Where are the goals going to come from? They're struggling for goals anyway. Yeah, they're in trouble. And this game against West Brom is so important for them. But we talked about it before, West Brom are capable of scoring goals and Newcastle at the moment aren't. This is the time now for the likes of Joe Linton, God forbid, Joe Linton and Ryan Fraser to come to the party, and also Dwight Gayle. Feel a bit sorry for Dwight Gayle. He's playing against the club he was on loan for. I think he is, given the chance, a natural goal scorer, unlike the man who cost 40 million. There must be one of the worst signings in football history. Yeah, they've got it all to do.
We spoke to Charlie when I touched on Everton. The Wi-Fi was a little bit shaky. a great week for Everton and Richarlison and able to win, able to dig it out. If you were asked to say where they'll finish now, what would you say?
Eighth. Well, you've asked me a question, so you're saying then they'll finish above Liverpool.
Will they stay up, Charlie?
Will they finish above Liverpool?
Well, I'm asking you.
Well, I'm telling you they won't. I'm telling you they will not finish above Spurs. They probably won't finish above Arsenal. They may finish above West Ham, who are also in.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that? They've got a game in hand. They're in the form of their lives. They haven't got dramatic injuries.
When you say they're in the form of their lives. Did you see the game against Southampton? Did you see the game against West Brom?
Yeah, but Charlie, they've got an ability now when the likes of Leicester are so... I mean, a lot of it is injury-based, but you know, Leicester have hit the buffers. Manchester United, they're playing a derby the weekend. I know you've got Chelsea. Why wouldn't you be more bullish about Everton?
Well, because I don't think they are as good as people suggest. You know, Alan now reminds me of Reedy. When Reedy was getting on, Decore has been a sensational signing. But these are largely, with James playing one game on, three games off now, you know, these are largely the same players who struggled last year. The manager is fantastic. The signing, and, you know, this is, you know, obviously I've been going on, is Godfrey. Godfrey's made such a difference because not only is he's got pace, whereas Michael Keane's also a great header of ball and defender. He's absolutely brilliant. He is hopefully going to captain Everton for a long time, and maybe even, I know it sounds daft, maybe captain England at some stage. But honestly, Rob, we'll see how good we are. Southampton deserved a draw. West Brom deserved a draw. At the moment, we are having... If you have a goal difference of +5 or +6, that's probably a good barometer as to how good you are, in my opinion. We have... Yeah, you know, if you lose twice to Newcastle United, are you that good? I mean, you asked me a question, I think we'll finish eighth. We'll see at the end of the season. I know it's fantastic, and they've more importantly, we've beaten Liverpool at Anfield and we put that to bed. But if we got into Europe, and not forget the Champions League, Everton are 5-1 to, you know, that's what the bookmakers think of Everton's chances. It's the same as around West Ham. Do you think West Ham will finish in the Champions League? Because I don't.
Rico, you were always saying that headline or your editors want black or white from you. Gareth Bale was the worst footballer in the world 3 weeks ago, and now he's the best.
Exactly. I'm just glad he's playing and he can show he's a world-class player, you know, on form. And, at last, they're playing the front four, if you like, of, you know, Harry Kane, Son, Bale and Dele Alli. Dele Alli suddenly come into it and played very well the other night. So at last, I think Jose Mourinho is getting the message that he has got a fantastic front four if he wants to play them. And then if he lets them sort of cause carnage, then, you know, he can back them up then with his pragmatic central defenders and, you know, midfield players. So I think Josie has at last smelled the coffee and thought, yeah, we can attack because that is their strength. But I'm afraid they've sort of been in a straitjacket over, you know, many weeks.
I'm going to talk a little bit about a couple of other sports in a minute, but just a last word on the football for the time being. Mick McCarthy, the job he's done at Cardiff, is just, I don't know how that's happened. That's the most astonishing run I can ever think. And talk about a good time to change your manager. I mean, I like Neil Harris a lot, but I don't know if you've been following what Cardiff have been doing. Yeah. Just ridiculous.
Well, Mick McCarthy's proven, isn't he? What I couldn't understand, he's did a great job at Ipswich Town and the fans wanted him out. Look what's happened to Ipswich since. To be fair, you know, I do sort of cover the Welsh side of things, and I know the Cardiff fans weren't happy about Mick McCarthy coming in. Now he's got a new contract that, you know, they're celebrating a fantastic revival. And now, you know, along with Swansea, they've got a chance of finishing in the promotion playoffs. So hats off.
Mick. Charlie, I've got to ask you, because this is a story that's dominated, it's dominated the headlines every time I look. And it's a horse racing trainer called Gordon Elliott, who was pictured sitting on a dead horse. Now, I have an interest in racing, but it's only a passing interest. But the racing industry with Cheltenham on the horizon seems to have turned itself upside down. Can you shed any light, or have you got a view on the whole story, really?
It was an abhorrent image. It was an appalling, crass error of judgment. It was, I don't know what, you can't get your head around, you know, what he was thinking of by this. I was, you know, you absolutely, absolutely appalled by it. I think his apology is genuine. It was back in 2017, I, as soon as I saw the picture, I said, he's got more chins than that. That was taken a couple of years ago. Absolutely appalling. He will get suspended today. For how long, I don't know. I think the IRHB, the British Horse Racing Authority, have already said he's going to lose his livelihood, at least in the short term. All those horses, the great horses he's got, they're all going to be taken away from him. And his rise in the last, you know, he's won Grand Nationals, he's won Gold Cups. He's not a good trainer. He is a fantastic trainer. And
I hear what you're saying, just from an outsider's point. I mean, when I see these idiots with their standing over lions and all this kind of thing that they've shot and all that, it just makes me sick. I know it's a terrible picture. I know it's a terrible image. And I'm sure there's no one more upset than him himself. I just wonder then, you know, that the ramifications if he's suspended, that possibly 80 staff could lose their jobs. I just playing devil's advocate. It's not so much that punishment fits the crime, because he has to be punished in some way. I just don't know whether this is another social media where everybody jumps on and hammers him. And, you know, I'm not saying we've all made mistakes, so hopefully not like that. Did you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. The first thing I said, you know, let ears without sin cast the first stone. This is appalling. Absolutely appalling. Yes. But he didn't shoot the horse. You know, let's get it right. The horse died, unfortunately, in the gallop. It's something that he will have to take to his grave. He will have to take why he did it, you know, what it beggars belief. But please, you know, I just worry about, and as you say, the staff as well, that is a concern, a real concern for their livelihood. He's going to, the sanctions, the IRHB are meeting as we speak, and it will be announced. I would imagine he will get a 12-month ban. That would be my thoughts. And, of course, all those horses that he's built up, the Cheveley Park horses, they will all go, and you would imagine those 80 staff will lose their jobs.
We'll see how that transpires and see what happens. Rico, just to finish with, I saw a tweet talking of social media, a Rico's Rant tweet saying, you owe Kenny Dalglish your house on the week of his 70th birthday. What's all that about?
I did say I wouldn't tell anybody what happened, as you know. But I'll tell you, well, between us, nobody else is listening.
Nobody's watching, don't worry. We won't tell anyone.
Right, it was Kenny at the time was manager of Newcastle. And now I have a, you know, really good relationship with him. At the time, I didn't, because he'd replaced Kevin Keegan, and fairly unfairly used to criticise the style of football. I remember they lost at Sheffield Wednesday. They lost at Sheffield Wednesday 2-0, and they played awfully. And my intro was Owls 2, Pussycats 0. Which Kenny didn't like, obviously. Anyway, it was at one press conference, and he announced that Alan Shearer would be out for 6 or 7 weeks because he'd done his cartilage or something. And somebody told me within the club, oh, no, Kenny's exaggerating, it'll only be 2 or 3 weeks. So I just said to him in this press conference, I said, are you sure it's not going to be 2 or 3 weeks? He said, no, he says, it's going to be 6 or 7 weeks. I said, well, I've been told it's right. He said, I'll bet you my hoose against your hoose. Anyway, he was out for 7 weeks. So after that, it was, where's my hoose? Even now, you turn up at Anfield, you know, when you could, and Kenny would be at the top of the stairs there, you know, in the old stand. And he'd see me, Rico, he says, where's my hoose? And this has carried on forever and ever. So I do owe him a house.
There are only two people I have been completely in awe when I've met them and got to know them a little bit. And he's one of them.
Yeah,
me too.
I remember going to a meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he turned up in a suit, but with it around his tie. And anyway, he said he would ring me. And I got back to the office, and it was something like out of Blackadder. And I went, is the phone on the hook? Is the phone on the hook? And I said, my new best mate's going to ring me a bit, Kenny. And he rang me, and honestly, I couldn't speak. I was just getting down. Honestly, I was completely starstruck for somebody. You know, he was that good, and it was something to do with him and Marina's charity as well, his wife's charity as well. Just fantastic, absolutely fantastic, but a fantastic sense of humour as well. But somebody to me, it was, oh, turn to a pussycat, John.
Brilliant.
And with that, Charlie, thanks a lot. Great stuff. Rico, thanks a lot. And we'll do it all again next week. Have a great week, lads.
And you. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye now. Thank you.
Morning, Charlie.
Morning, John. Morning, guys.
Right. Oh, God. How is it? Let me ask. How was the Wi-Fi?
Well, it was fine yesterday, but you never know. There could be gremlins. No. Seems fine, mate. As long as you and John can hear me.
Let's hear you.
Let's crack on.
Right. Okay. Let's crack on. Morning, everybody. John Richardson and Charlie McCann. Charlie's in Gibraltar. John Richardson's on the moon somewhere. We don't really know where Rico exists this week. He's, I guess you made a splash, didn't you? With you've been talking about it. If anybody's been watching our show for the last 6 months, you put in your story in the Sunday Mirror is Klopp going and Stevie G in along those lines.
Yeah,
what kind of reaction have you had?
I thought I'd better put it out there because we've been talking about it, haven't we, for the last few weeks. I might get it in the paper. I've scooped myself. No, it's basically from inside information, talking to somebody you know very well, actually, Rob, somebody connected with Liverpool. And I just ran it past him. I said, "Now, there's all this talk about Jurgen Klopp possibly being the next German manager when Joachim Löw eventually goes. That could be after the end of these Euros or maybe the end of the World Cup next year in Qatar. And, I've heard that already the owners are looking at Steven Gerrard as the obvious replacement. And this guy knows what's going on in Liverpool, so true and true. So I thought I'd better run it. But then, of course, we live in this social media world where everybody's an expert, so you know, the story appears on Sunday morning, and on Sunday, you know, you just get abuse, you know, on social media. Now, I'm on Twitter because it does raise your profile, but I'm not a lover of it. And I feel for people who are abused. You know, we have racism, blah, blah, blah. I'm afraid it's getting worse and worse. And, you know, nobody can come and have a sensible conversation. It's always going to be abusive. And, of course, they know better than you, even though you're in the business of talking to people. They don't know anybody, but they seem to know better. But that's the world we live in, I'm afraid.
Somebody who knows everything, especially about his beloved Blues. They've had a good week, haven't they, Charlie?
Very good. Klopp is 15-2 to be the next Premier League manager to lose or to leave his post, but that is only until the end. Then Saturday the Chelsea game. I think they've run out of excuses, etc. The players don't have the same energy that they had. Maybe the manager as well doesn't quite have the same energy. And I'm sorry, there is an awful lot of logic to what John suggests. He's always said he wants to manage his national side one day. I'm sorry to bring up maybe what happened to his relative. That might act as a catalyst as well, and he might decide. But massive game at West Brom with regard to this market, with Newcastle playing West Brom over the weekend. I think that is a massive. Steve Bruce, now into 7-4 favourites. And digress. Answer your original question. Yeah, fantastic. But we are against Chelsea and things like that. But tremendous.
He's in there, isn't he? The Wi-Fi, Charlie, is for some reason.
Can we get back to Liverpool though?
Hang on, let me just try and sort Charlie's Wi-Fi out before. Chaz, can you hear us?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah, it's fine, and then it just breaks up a bit. Let me go back to Rico, and then we'll pick up again.
Yeah.
Rico, it's genuinely astonishing. I mean, I was watching last night, and it's almost so predictable what's going to happen, as in nothing's going to happen for Liverpool. It is almost like they look like they've run out of everything: confidence, energy, ideas.
I mean, let's get this right, because you know all of us have praised them over the last couple of years, and quite rightly so. Well, over the last 3 years, they've been a tremendous side. But make no bones about this: this is an appalling defence of Championship. It's probably one of the worst in modern times. You know, the white flag of surrender's gone up. Watching last night, you just knew that they weren't going to get anything from it. You know, as Charlie said, there was a lack of energy. They were flat. There's a lack of confidence, obviously. And, you know, people say, oh, Virgil van Dijk, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that's part of it. You know, they've had 19 central defensive partnerships, but it's more than that. I mean, the front three, who have been supreme over the last 3 years, you know, they're struggling. It's like a Rolls Royce which is misfiring. You know, there's nothing happening, and the midfield isn't as dominant as it has been. They're going through a bad time, and Charlie, you know, mentioned Jurgen Klopp. He looks like he's absolutely shattered as well. I've said before on this programme, I don't think all is well behind the scenes as far as you know, the owners and Klopp is concerned. I don't think it's a crisis point, but he obviously wasn't backed how he wanted to be in the January transfer window. And there's just one or two signs that the whole empire is starting to crack. And yes, we have rightly praised them over the last few years, and you never take that away from them. But I think Graham Souness has said quite often, the mark of great champions is how you keep going, how you defend that title, because obviously you're there to be shot at. You know, you are the champions, and it's how you react to that. Because if you look at the Premier League over the last few years, it is very hard to retain the title. But, you know, most sides have come a lot better, you know, done a lot better than Liverpool. So, Yeah, I mean, questions have got to be asked.
It's an absolutely fantastic, and I mean fantastic title race, apart from Manchester City, Charlie.
Yeah, it is. And that top four, which, you know, if you'd have told me that Liverpool would be even money to finish in the top four, yeah, I still insist they could win the Champions League. But Manchester United, you know, they were so, they've been so, so ordinary recently, you know, and this much vaunted Bruno Fernandes. And what Gary Neville, you know, he must have, Edison Cavani must have pictures of Gary Neville with farmyard animals because he absolutely adores him. And he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And yet, you know, he scored three goals, you know, well, anyway, United are 4-1 on Chelsea. I thought was sensational. I thought they were really good. And whatever you say, you know, and everyone's loyal to Frank, A, because he's a good bloke, and B, because he's a Chelsea legend. That took some balls to get rid of him at that time. And it was the correct decision. And this guy, these guys, you know, people like, you know, Rudiger, whether he was one of the catalysts for change, and whether he was, you know, but you know, maybe he and Tuchel were, you know, and there's rumours that he was, you know, not particularly, well, he wasn't in favour of Lampard, and so, you know, but he's been absolutely symbolic of the renaissance in Chelsea. Very good. And again, I've been sort of, not critical, Mason Mount I thought was a good player, very good player, but I didn't think he was, I thought the London press maybe, no, he's been fantastic. That was a top class goal. You go to Anfield and you score. Yeah, did Bruno Fernandes do that? Nah, Mason Mount did. And that, I think it's great again for English football. And I hold my hand up, this guy's a real player, but that's a real Chelsea team as well. I like the fact that he could bring out Giroud and things like that, Werner, high line, he wants to play with pace. Had it been 4-0, no one could have complained. No one could complain.
Rick, I've got to, it's VAR and I mean, why was that not a handball last night against N'Golo Conte, only from the context of the Fulham handball, which, I mean, I know the rule, if it leads, any kind of touch on the hand that leads to a goal has to be short. I mean, it's just cobblers, isn't it? It's ridiculous.
Football's got a major problem. I mean, last night, nobody celebrates the goal straight away, do they? You know, in the past, you'd look towards the linesman, you know, and then you'd start celebrating. Now, there's this fear that it's going to be knocked off by VAR. And the problem for me is that I do think that the people at Stockley Park are sitting there, sitting judgment. And I think instead of trying to goals, they're trying to knock them off. I think there's a negative view. I think they all, I mean, look at the first Chelsea goal. Well, the one that was disallowed with Werner. I mean, I still can't see how that was disallowed. As far as I was concerned, they were in a line. And so the benefit should go to the attacker, but I'm afraid it's like a surgical procedure now. They sit in front of that, and I'm afraid that they're sucking the life out of the game. I mean, football is spontaneous, it's joy, it's fantastic. Now you're getting sort of two half-hearted celebrations instead of one because you've got to wait for VAR now. I think we've got to have a look at this in the summer because it is. It's wrecking football. You know, we've got machinery there and, you know, the goal line technology, fantastic. No problems with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with the actual, you know, technology. It's the people in front of these screens, I think, of, you know, they're very negative.
I've got to be honest. I know a lot of colleagues went to Stockley Park and they, you know, they've had chats about how it works. I look at that screen. I don't understand it. I look at those lines and I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't know how you decide, unless their lines are better than the lines I see on TV, Charlie. I just don't get it.
I thought Werner's was a perfectly good goal. I thought West Brom should have been, but the penalty for N'Golo Conte was ridiculous. You know, we were all told his hand was there. That was a penalty. And the worst of the lot from only win midweek. I mean, we should have a sort of top 10 programme of VAR cock-ups almost every week. I mean, you're not talking about one or two or three. You could have a top 10. But the Fulham goal, and of course, Scott Parker was so magnanimous after that. I would, can imagine some managers would have been ranting and raving, and he just said, no, I know the law. It doesn't mean to say that the law is not an ass. That was a perfectly good goal. You know when Spurs, Dele Alli was kicking off. Dele Alli was kicking off. And of course, that's handball, supposedly. Not offside, it's handball. And Dele Alli wanted to kick off and continue the game. That shows how bonkers that rule is. And it's not good. Of course it will change, because it's got to change because it's crackers. But it doesn't mean to say that, you know, if you're Fulham Football Club and you're a Fulham supporter this morning, or you're a Fulham player, or you're Scott Parker, that was wrong. That was wrong.
And this hasn't
come out yet, and it won't come out. But I think you know, Rob, that Sky and BT do their own lines. You know, Stockley Park do their line, and BT and Sky, whose technology is supposed to be better than at Stockley Park, they do their lines over and offside, and they're completely different to the ones at Stockley Park. So
they have to be. They have to be, from what I say. Listen, I just wonder if that's a decision that could cost Fulham their Premier League status in a way. But I was going to ask you, Rico, Steve Bruce has been fighting with Matt Ritchie, hasn't he, in training, and what a weekend it is for them. And with all the injuries, I think Fulham, I've said it all along, I think Fulham have got a right chance of getting out, maybe at the expense of the tomb.
Well, as you know, training incidents happen every week and they're never reported. But when you're in trouble, obviously everything is magnified. So there was this bust-up with Matt Ritchie, which has been reported. And it's another stick to beat Steve Bruce with. The local media, the North East media, dead set against Brucey. They want him out. And so this is now a campaign. I'm not knocking the story. The story was true. But, you know, I can tell you lots of training ground incidents. They happen every week. You know, we have bust-ups in practice games, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not reported. It's just one of those workplace incidents. But, yeah, he's up against it. And it's not just because of that. It's because the injuries. I mean, they've got Almiron out, San Maximum out. Of course, they've got Callum Wilson out. Where are the goals going to come from? They're struggling for goals anyway. Yeah, they're in trouble. And this game against West Brom is so important for them. But we've talked about it before. West Brom are capable of scoring goals, and Newcastle at the moment aren't. This is the time now for the likes of Joe Linton. God forbid. Joe Linton and Ryan Fraser to come to the party, and also Dwight Gayle. Feel a bit sorry for Dwight Gayle. He's playing against the club he was on loan for. I think he is, given the chance, a natural goal scorer, unlike the man who cost 40 million. There must be one of the worst signings in football history. Yeah, they've got it all to do.
We spoke to Charlie when I touched on Everton. The Wi-Fi was a little bit shaky. a great week for Everton and Richarlison and able to win, able to dig it out. If you were asked to say where they'll finish now, what would you say?
Eighth. Well, you've asked me a question, so you're saying then they'll finish above Liverpool.
Will they stay up, Charlie?
Will they finish above Liverpool?
Well, I'm asking you.
Well, I'm telling you they won't. I'm telling you they will not finish above Spurs. They probably won't finish above Arsenal. They may finish above West Ham, who are also in.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that? They've got a game in hand. They're in the form of their lives. They haven't got dramatic injuries.
When you say they're in the form of their lives. Did you see the game against Southampton?
But Charlie, they've got an ability now when the likes of Leicester are so. I mean, a lot of it is injury based, but you know, Leicester have hit the buffers. Manchester United they're playing a derby at the weekend. I know you've got Chelsea. Why wouldn't you be more bullish about Everton?
Well, because I don't think they are as good as people suggest. You know, Alan now reminds me of Reedy when Reedy was getting on. You know, Doucouré being a sensational signing. But these are largely, with James playing one game on, three games off now, you know, these are largely the same players who struggled last year. The manager is fantastic. The signing, and, you know, this is, you know, obviously I've been going on, is Godfrey. Godfrey's made such a difference because not only is he's got pace, whereas Michael Keane's also a great header of ball and defender. He's absolutely brilliant. He is hopefully going to captain Everton for a long time, and maybe even, I know it sounds daft, maybe captain England at some stage. But honestly, Rob, we'll see how good we are. Southampton deserved a draw. West Brom deserved a draw. At the moment, we are having... If you have a goal difference of plus five or plus six, that's probably a good barometer as to how good you are, in my opinion. We have... You know, if you lose twice to Newcastle United, are you that good? I mean, you asked me a question, I think we'll finish eighth. We'll see at the end of the season. I know it's fantastic, and they've more importantly, we've beaten Liverpool and Anfield, and we put that to bed. But if we got into Europe, and not forget the Champions League, Everton are 5-1 to, you know, that's what the bookmakers think of Everton's chances. It's the same as around West Ham. Do you think West Ham will finish in the Champions League? Because I don't.
Rico, you were always saying that headline or your editors want black or white from you. Gareth Bale was the worst footballer in the world 3 weeks ago, and now he's the best.
Exactly. I'm just glad he's playing and he can show he's a world-class player, you know, on form. And, at last, they're playing the front four, if you like, of, you know, Harry Kane, Son, Bale and Dele Alli. Dele Alli's suddenly come into it and played very well the other night. So, at last, I think Jose Mourinho is getting the message that he has got a fantastic front four if he wants to play them. And then if he lets them sort of cause carnage, then, you know, he can back them up then with his pragmatic central defenders and, you know, midfield players. So I think Jose has at last smelled the coffee and thought, yeah, we can attack because that is their strength. But I'm afraid they've sort of been in a straitjacket over, you know, many weeks.
I'm going to talk a little bit about a couple of other sports in a minute, but just a last word on the football for the time being. Mick McCarthy, the job he's done at Cardiff, is just, I don't know how that's happened. That's the most astonishing run I can ever think. And talk about a good time to change your manager. I mean, I like Neil Harris a lot, but I don't know if you've been following what Cardiff have been doing. Yeah. Just ridiculous.
Well, Mick McCarthy's proven, isn't he? What I couldn't understand, he's did a great job at Ipswich Town and the fans wanted him out. Look what's happened to Ipswich since. And to be fair, you know, I do sort of cover the Welsh side of things, and I know the Cardiff fans weren't happy about Mick McCarthy coming in. Now he's got a new contract that, you know, they're celebrating a fantastic revival, and now, you know, along with Swansea, they've got a chance of finishing in the promotion playoffs. So hats off,
Mick. Charlie, I've got to ask you, because this is a story that's dominated, it's dominated the headlines every time I look. And it's a horse racing trainer called Gordon Elliott, who was pictured sitting on a dead horse. Now, I have an interest in racing, but it's only a passing interest. But the racing industry with Cheltenham on the horizon seems to have turned itself upside down. Can you shed any light, or have you got a view on the whole story, really?
It was an abhorrent image. It was an appalling, crass error of judgment. It was, I don't know what, you can't get your head around, you know, what he was thinking of by this. I was, you know, you absolutely, absolutely appalled by it. I think his apology is genuine. It was back in 2017. I as soon as I saw the picture, I said, he's got more chins than that. That was taken a couple of years ago. Absolutely appalling. He will get suspended today. For how long, I don't know. I think the IRHB, the British Horse Racing Authority, have already said he's going to lose his livelihood, at least in the short term. All those horses, the great horses he's got, they're all going to be taken away from him. And his rise in the last, you know, he's won Grand Nationals, he's won Gold Cups. He's not a good trainer. He is a fantastic trainer. And
I hear what you're saying, just from an outsider's point. When I see these idiots with their standing over lions and all this kind of thing that they've shot and all that, it just makes me sick. But I know it's a terrible picture. I know it's a terrible image. And I'm sure there's no one more upset than him himself. I just wonder then, you know, that the ramifications if he's suspended, that possibly 80 staff could lose their jobs. I just playing devil's advocate. It's not so much that punishment fits the crime, because he has to be punished in some way. I just don't know whether this is another social media where everybody jumps on and hammers him. And, you know, I'm not saying we've all made mistakes, so hopefully not like that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. The first thing I said, you know, let ears without sin cast the first stone. This is appalling, absolutely appalling. Yes. But he didn't shoot the horse. You know, let's get it right. The horse died, unfortunately, in the gallop. It's something he will have to take to his grave. He will have to take why he did it, you know, what it beggars belief. But please, you know, I just worry about, and as you say, the staff as well, that is a concern, a real concern for their livelihood. The sanctions, the IRHB are meeting as we speak, and it will be announced. I would imagine he will get a 12-month ban. That would be my thoughts. And of course, all those horses that he's built up, the Cheveley Park horses, they will all go, and you would imagine those 80 staff will lose their jobs.
We'll see how that transpires and see what happens. Rico, just to finish with, I saw a tweet talking of social media, a Rico's Rant tweet saying, you owe Kenny Dalglish a house on the week of his 70th birthday. What's all that about?
I did say I wouldn't tell anybody what happened, as you know. But I'll tell you, well, between us, nobody else is listening.
Nobody's watching. Don't worry. We won't tell anyone.
Right. It was Kenny at the time was manager of Newcastle. And now I have a, you know, really good relationship with him. At the time, I didn't, because he'd replaced Kevin Keegan. And fairly unfairly, he used to criticise the style of football. I remember they lost at Sheffield Wednesday. They lost at Sheffield Wednesday 2-0, and they played awfully. And my intro was Owls 2, Pussycats 0. Which Kenny
very good.
Kenny didn't like, obviously. Anyway, it was at one press conference, and he announced that Alan Shearer would be out for 6 or 7 weeks, because he'd done his cartilage or something. And somebody told me within the club, oh, no, Kenny's exaggerating, it'll only be 2 or 3 weeks. So I just said to him in this press conference, I said, you sure it's not going to be 2 or 3 weeks? No, he says, it's going to be 6 or 7 weeks. I said, well, I've been told it's right. He said, I'll bet you my hoose against your hoose. Anyway, he was for 7 weeks. So after that, it was, where's my hoose? Even though you turn up at Anfield, you know, when you could, and Kenny would be at the top of the stairs there, you know, in the old stand. And he'd see me, Rico, he says, where's my hoose? And this has carried on forever and ever. So I do owe him a house.
There are only two people I have been completely in awe when I've met them and got to know them a little bit, and he's one of them.
Yeah,
me too.
And I remember going to a meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he turned up in a suit, but with it around his tie, and Anyway, he said he would ring me. And I got back to the office and it was something like out of Blackadder. And I went, is the phone on the hook? Is the phone on the hook? And I said, my new best mate's going to ring me, Kenny. And he rang me. And honestly, I couldn't speak. I was just, Kenny. Honestly, I was completely starstruck for somebody, you know, he was that good. And it was something to do with him and Marina's charity as well, his wife's charity as well. Just fantastic, absolutely fantastic. But a brilliant. Fantastic sense of humour as well. But somebody, to me, it was, turn to a pussycat, John.
Brilliant. And with that, Charlie, thanks a lot. Great stuff. Rico, thanks a lot. And we'll do it all again next week. Have a great week, lads.
And you. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye now. Thank you.